We continue our learning of the Nishmas David ben Menachem Shem Ham Yaakov ben Pinchas Eliyahu. We're in Kalim Perikei Mishnah Test. Tanur Shaba Mechutach Mebeis Ha'uman. You have an oven that did not come fully assembled. It came Mechutach, cut, which means strips of earthenware, which are supposed to be then assembled from, and they came from the craftsman house. Why would we do so? Why wouldn't we have the craftsman put the whole thing together? According to some, it's because the Uman may be an Amoretz. And maybe he's not careful with the laws of Tumah Vatara. So we don't want this to have the status of a kli of a tanur just yet until it leaves his house. So therefore it comes in strips, kind of like a barrel is made of wooden strips. These are strips of earthenware. And now va'asubo limudim. And now the owner, you get these strips of the tanur of pottery, and you made these hoops or these rings, v'nosdim alav. And you place these rings. These are also, these rings are, by the way, made out of earthenware. And you now put them together. These join the different planks or the different strips of pottery together to make the tanur. But you didn't put any plaster on it. There's no clay. So the Mishnah here therefore says v'hu tahor. This remains tahor even though you connected the different parts, the different strips of earthenware together with these hoops, with these rings. It still remains tahor, because you didn't put any clay on it to bring it together as one unit. Nitma, but if it became tame, which means now it's susceptible to tuma, because not only did you connect it with these earthenware rings, but you placed clay on the outer side. Vesilekes limudav. And if, let's say, now you take off the rings, so tahor. Now we assume that that is nullified, it's tuma, it's no longer a kli, because although you may still have the clay around it, since you removed the rings that keep the different strips together, so it's no longer considered a kli. Hechaziron lo, but let's say now you return the rings, these earthenware rings, back, still tahor. Why is it still tahor? Because the removal of those rings, not only nullified the tanur, because there were no rings there, but it also nullified the clay that was outside. We ignore the clay, as we said. Remember, you remove it, said the Mishnah, says Silekes Limudav Tahor. So when you remove these limudim, these rings that keep the plank, keep the strips together, we said it doesn't matter that there's clay on the outside. Tahor, it's not Makabel Tuma. So putting the rings back is not going to return into its status unless you now put on new clay. Mercho Betit, after you return the rings, now you put on a new coating of plaster. So then Mekabel Tuma. Then the rings together with the new clay now make it susceptible to Tuma. But Veinu Tzarech Lahasikenu. But we don't require you, as if this is a new clay now, to heat it up to the point where it can bake Sufkan in. That much we don't require. Once you put the rings together, a new clay on it, so then it's like any other tanur. Why? Shekvar husak. Because after the first time you put on clay, you'd already heat it up. So the fact that you removed the rings, those hoops, and that nullified the clay that was there, that's not considered a coating halachically anymore. So the fact that you now put the rings back on to keep the different strips together of the strips of pottery, and you now put on new clay, so the original heating that was done in order to bake sufkan in is sufficient. That doesn't have to be done again. Mishnah is somewhat complicated as a read. There are different ways to learn the Mishnah. We learn the Mishnah like the Tosefta does, the Rosh, the Tosus Mishans does, and the Rosh. Perakei Mishnah Yud. Chatacho Chulyos. So here you have your tanur, and now we want to remove the status of tuma of a kli from the tanur. So we spoke about it in the past, different ways you could do that. You cut it into thirds, like cutting a cake from top to bottom. Or we spoke about cutting it one chulya and another chulya, like a ring where you're cutting it horizontally, as long as each section is not four tefachim high. So in this case, chatacho chulyos, you cut the oven horizontally from side to side into these rings. These rings were less than four tefachim high, so it's no longer a kli, it's not mekabel tuma. But then, v'nasa al chol ben chulya l'chulya. Then, You put sand between the rings, and you put a clay on the outside of the oven to now bring it back together to consider it a kli. But between each chulia, each ring, you didn't put any clay. That just has sand. So do we assume that this returns to have the status of a tanur of a kli and it's mekabel tuma? Or do we say because there's sand between the rings, that's not considered a connection, and therefore this is still not a tanur. So it's a machlokas, rather famous machlokas, as we'll see. Rabbi Eliezer mitaher. Rabbi Eliezer says this remains tahor. Why? Because it has sin in between. V'chachamim mitamin. The chachamim say no, that it's mekabel tuma. Rabbi Eliezer believes it's still considered broken because of the sand separating in different rings. And the Chachamim say no. You have, the end of the day, there's an outer coating of clay that makes the entire tanur one unit. And therefore, the fact that the sand in between, that doesn't bother us. The oven is not broken. It's back together again. And therefore, it's mekabel tuma. And then the Mishnah says, Zeh tanuro shel achnoi. This is the famous tanur of Achnoi. Now, who's Achnoi, or what is Achnoi? So, one explanation is that Achnoi, a simple understanding, is Achnoi is the name of a person. Tosus Vilnagon say Achnoi was a person who would make ovens like that, would make ovens in these rings and stand in between, and clay or coating on the outside. And that was Tanur Shel Achnoi. That Rav Eliezer says it's not considered a kli, it's not mekabel tuma. Chachamim said it is mekabel tuma despite the fact that there's sand in between. However, the Gemara in Bava Metzia on Daf Nut Tesser Mitbeis on the top says if Zehu Tanur Shel Achnoi, my Achnoi, what's Achnoi? Achnoi actually is another word for a snake. And Achnoi actually means a snake that's coiled. And the Gemara there says, why do we call this the tanur of a coiled snake? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel shehikifu devarin b'ka'achna zuvitimu. Because the Chachamim surrounded this oven, symbolically like a coiled snake, with a lot of discussions, and said that it's going to be mekabel tuma. This is the opinion of the Chachamim against Rabbi Eliezer. So what? Why is this such a famous tanur that the Chachamim surrounded it like a coiled snake with a lot of discussion? So there's a big debate. Rabbi Eliezer had many, many arguments. The Gemara says, "Ba'osu hayom heishiv Rabbi Eliezer kol tshuvo shabolam." He tried to defend his lenient opinion on this, that the oven should not be mekabel tuma, with many arguments, many challenges to the Chacham of Lo Kibbalu, and then they didn't accept it. And then Rabbi Eliezer says, "Im halacha kamos halacha follows my opinion. Charuv is that this carrot tree over here would prove to me." And what happened? Nekar charuv mimkoma me'aman. Some say arba me'osam. And what really happened? It sounds like he was correct because the carrot tree uprooted from his place and moved 100 amos, maybe 400 amos. Amud the Chachamim said, "No, doesn't matter." In Mivin Raya Menacharuv, can't bring a Raya from the carrot tree. So he said, well, if the halacha is like me, this Amasamai, this channel canal of water is going to prove it. And what happened? The water started flowing the opposite way backward. They said, I can't bring a Raya from that either. And then he said, well, if the halacha follows me, the walls of the Beis Medrash will prove that I'm correct, that this tanur is considered tahor. And the walls of the Beis Medrash started to lean in until Rabbi Yehoshua, who was there, said, yelled at the walls and says, no, this doesn't work this way. You have no business in this. And they stopped where they were, but they never stood up straight. Actually, we're leaning after that. And then he said, and not only that, if halacha follows, Bistis Rabbi Eliezer said to the rest of the Chachamim, Min Hashamayim Yochichu, it should be proved from heaven. And a baskol came out and said, Malach emeitza Rabbi Eliezer, shahalacha kemosu b'chol makom. What are you, Chachamim, arguing with Rabbi Eliezer? Halacha follows him in all places. And Rabbi Yeshua stood up and says, Lo b'shamayim hi, based on the pasuk in Devarim Perek Lamed, halacha is not decided in heaven. That's shekvar nitna Torah mehar Sinai, and it's given to human beings, and we make those decisions. And the Gemara there says that Rabbi Nassan once found Eliyahu Hanavi. Rabbi Nassan said to him, "My other Kushim Baruch Hu Bahayishaitu, what's Hashem doing right now? What was Hashem doing?" And Rabbi Yehoshua rejected that sign, that baskol from heaven, that the halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer. So he says, "You know what Hashem's doing?" Kachayich va'amar. He's smiling, he's laughing, and saying, "Nitzchuni banai, nitzchuni banai. My children have been victorious, have prevailed over me." And that the idea, of course, is that we don't take signs from heaven when it comes to halacha. Halacha is decided acharei rabim lahatos. We follow the majority. Majority of chachamim hold that this is tameh, and therefore we don't follow even signs from heaven. Following this episode, they excommunicated Rabbi Eliezer. And then a tragic story occurred. The Rabbi Eliezer's wife was
the sister of Rabbi Gamliel.
Her name was Ima Shalom. And it says, Be'ahu Maisavela, from that story, from where Rabbi Gamliel excommunicated Rabbi Eliezer, Lo have a shofkalid Rabbi Eliezer Mipalape, she would not allow Rabbi Eliezer to say Tachanun. After Shmon Esrei, for the Shmon Esrei to be heard, the Tachanun is critical. That's why we're supposed to say Tachanun, and we shouldn't have any pause, any interruption between the Shmona Esrei and the Tachanun. And therefore, she knew that if Rabbi Eliezer is davening Rabbi Gamliel, her brother should drop dead because he, as the Nasi, gave the Pesach Halacha that he should be excommunicated. She was very afraid that his tefillah would be listened to, Rabbi Gamliel would die. So she wanted to interrupt between the Shmona Esrei and the Tachanun. So the Shmona Esrei, his tefillos would not be answered. So it happened to be one day, so she did that every day, interrupted him before he could say Tachanun. And one day, she thought it was Rosh Chodesh, but it really was not. She made a mistake in terms of the calendar. And or some say no, it was because and of course it's Rosh Chodesh, it was Tachanun, there's no Tachanun. Or maybe no, there was an ani at the door, she had to enter the door, and at that moment he fell down to say the Tachanun, and she came over and said, "What are you doing? You're gonna end up killing my brother because now you're able to say Tachanun immediately after the Shmona Esrei." And in fact, a message went out that Rabbi Gamliel had passed away. And Rabbi Eliezer asked his wife, "Manoyad, how do you know that Rabbi Gamliel would die? Even if, you know, maybe I wasn't davening for him, but of course I had been insulted by what he did." Amalei, she said to him, and this is why this is in Bava Metzia, in the fourth parak, "Kach mekubaleinu mibeis Abi Abba, I have a tradition all the way back to my grandfather referring to David HaMelech. Kol hasha'orim nin olim chutz mishare ona. All gates of heaven may be locked, except the gates of Ona, of causing pain to others with words." So Ona is insulting others, hurting others with words. So those gates are never closed, and people are davening for that. They will be answered. And so that's the famous story of the Tanur Shalachnoi of our Mishnah. Then the Mishnah says, Yoros Ha'arviyim. These are Arabian cauldrons. So Chofer Ba'aretz. They were ovens that they would dig in the ground. V'tach B'tit, and of course, spread clay around the walls to preserve the heat. Im Yochol Ha'tit Lamon B'fnei Atzmo Tamei V'im Lav Tahor. What's the halacha regarding these? Yoros Ha'arvin. So the Mishnah says, if the clay can stand by itself, it's very thick, so it can be its own oven. So it doesn't need the ground that happens to be coated that's supporting it. So then the oven will be tame because it's considered a cleave. Imlav, but if it can't stand on its own, so then the oven is going to be tar because the oven is really not a cle. It's in the ground. The ground, the karka, is not mekabel tuma, and there was this would not be mekabel tuma either. And then the Mishnah concludes, the zeh tanuro shel ben dinoi. This is the oven that was known as Ben Dinoi. What's Ben Dinoi? So one explanation is Ben Dinoi was the name of a ratzchan, of a murderer. Maybe he was a gazlan, and he was a thief, and he would bake bread in this type of oven. And some say that no, Ben Dinoi means there was much discussion, much judgment, literally din on this tanur, and therefore they called it the Tanur of Ben Dinoi. So similar to the Tanur Shalachnoi, there was much discussion about its status, Torah or Tameh. So too, there was much discussion, much din regarding this Tanur of this of these Yoros, these cauldrons of Arabian cauldrons, whether their status should be that of the ground and therefore not Mekabel Tumah, or they should be Mekabel Tumah as the Mishnah describes, assuming the coating could stand on its own as its own oven.